If anybody else in here has a scripture about hope that you like, they're going to read them out loud for me. But if you have one, please get your scripture, and when we're reading, you just raise your hand and you can read your scripture. Because what I want us to have is that we know we have a course. We know one of our courses is Walking with God and Salvation. The other one is the assignment that God gives to us. So the last piece that I'm going to give you today, because this is my last Sunday teaching, is I want you to walk out of here today with hope. I want you to know that whatever God has called you to do, you can do that. You have the ability to do that. Because why? Most of all, because he is with us. He is the one that gave us the course. He's the one that gave us the assignment. So he is the one, and he is our main piece for finishing the course. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to talk about the word hope. The word hope means a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Hope is a feeling of expectation or desire for a certain thing to happen. A feeling of trust. And the verb part of that word is that you want something to happen. So in our assignment, when God has given us something, we should want something to happen, meaning that we're going to take whatever he gave us and we will perfect it. Remember, we talked about we know it. We ask God about it. We know what it is. We allow him to speak to us. And then we learn everything we can about it, so that we can perfect it. Then we pray the Spirit of God, the anointing God, sits on that, and it gives us understanding of what we need to do and how we need to carry it out. Whether that is a spiritual gift that you are using in church and secular, or whether that is your job that you do. So I say that because people have the mindset sometimes that I cannot do ministry unless I am in church. That's not true. Ministry is every day, all day long, for whoever you meet and whatever you are doing. Okay. I want to read one scripture, Psalms 42 and 11. It said, "Why art thou cast down?" You know, sometimes even though God tells you to do something, you don't feel like doing it all the time. So let's deal with what we have to contend with to finish our course is our natural side, hopefully to come and coincide with the spirit side, but to come under the spirit part. Because if you don't take natural and put it under God and under him, submission. That's what we're talking about, just submission. A lot of people don't like submission in the marriage part. We don't like submission in some of the things that we have to do because it means that we have to give up what we think and we feel. And we now have a set of directions that we follow. And so sometimes, even this week, you know, I had that situation with my grandbaby and his math. And he was like, he had went out to do his homework. And he said, "Honey," usually I sit right there at the table with him. And I watch him. You know how kids do. I don't have to tell you. So he said, "Honey," he said, "can I just go outdoors on the porch and do my math?" I said, "Sure." So I gave him about an hour and a half. I said, and I check him, okay, has that math done yet? Because he had three assignments he had to do. "Well, no, honey, I just finished one." I said, "Well, what was the score on the one? Because the instructions I gave you was that when you get to the end." "Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. Okay, so my grandchildren and children call me honey. Because when my grandchildren called me that was because when they were little, Desi, the oldest one, she thought my name was honey because that's what John called me. So she called me honey. And so when the rest of them came along, they just called me honey. I'm sorry. Honey is me. So baby, how far have you got?" He said, "Well, I did the first one." I said, "Well, what was the score? Because the directions was when you get to the score and before you submit, you come and tell me what it is. Because if it's not acceptable, we have to back up and work a little harder to get the right score that we want." Well, he goes on and submits it. And the score was not acceptable for me. And so he was like, "Well, but I did it." "Okay, you did it, but we got to do it right." Do you know what I'm saying? We're trying to pass here. We're not trying to just do it just to do it. So then I got a little frustrated with him and aggravated. So I said, look, I said, you have wasted almost 2 hours. I said, this is not going to happen. We calling a tutor. He didn't want a tutor. You know why he didn't want a tutor?
They was gonna make him do it right.
He thought he knew. And I said, honey, listen, you don't know. I said, that's not being mean. I said, baby, you don't know this part of the math. And honey don't know it. So we got to find somebody that know it. So I called the tutor and I said, honey, I said, he not doing too well right here. She said, no problem. I'll be out there in about 30 minutes. When the tutor showed up, ask my daughter right there. She said, right there. When the tutor showed up, she in like an hour or 30 minutes, the same thing me and him was going at it for 2.5 hours almost. They got it. She walked them through it. He had it done in like 30 minutes and doubled the score that he had. Now, what would have happened to that baby if I would have said, oh, honey, I know it. You know, me and you. That baby would not have done well in math. Do you see what I'm saying? So with life, y'all, sometimes if we don't know, it's okay not to know, but let's find out what we need to do and how we need to do it so that it works. Because if you stay in an area and you say, okay, I kind of know what my gifting is, but I don't know what it is. Okay, so you take your gifting and you say, Lynn, what do you think we're just going to use that as an example. What do you think a prophet is? And Lynn tells me what she think it is. And then I listen to Lynn, and then I go over and I said, Lisa, I said, what is a prophet? Can you tell me what a prophet is? Lisa tells me what she thinks it is. She thinks it is. So I'm going on what both of them are saying and what they think it is, and I ain't getting nowhere. And I'm not getting anywhere because what do I need to do? I need to find somebody that knows that, and then I need to apply myself, get a book out, look up the word prophet in a Bible dictionary and see what it says. Not just one dictionary, a couple of them. Just make sure they have a Bible meaning. See what it means and what it says. There you go. But this is what I'm saying. No matter what we're doing in Christ, y'all, if we don't know, it's okay not to know. Just find out. Because every one of us in here, when we came to Jesus, we did not know what we were doing. We did what someone else that was older than us and already had experience led us to where we are now. And so that's okay. And you say, well, Miss Faye, you're talking as if we don't understand. I don't mean no harm, but now sometimes adults feel like I already know, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it my way, and we be doing it wrong. Amen. Then that leads to us being upset with God because he says, God, you told me to do something, but it's not working. For real? I'm serious. It is not working because we have not found the proper way to help. For it to work. And that's what you have leadership for too sometimes. Go to them and sit down and say, can you help me understand this? Absolutely. I'm gonna be transparent this morning. I'm gonna take this sometimes the mess we were, I'm gonna take that and let it aside. My grandson had my nerves so tore up Wednesday night. My daughter came out of the room. She said, Mama, she said, go on out on the porch and take a moment. She said, y'all going back and forth with this man. Honey, I kept telling that baby I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So I had to go take a breather. Once I took a breather, the tutor came up. The problem was solved. Do you see how simple that was? But I had to take the initiative to do what needed to be done. I couldn't just sit there and cry. I couldn't just sit there and wallow. I had to take the initiative to find out what I needed to do, and then I had to do it. Then I had to do it. Okay, there are four things, y'all. These are kind of the keys of life, but it's for the course as well. The first key is forgiveness, the key of forgiveness. And I'm not going to go through the scriptures, because I want to get over there to where you all. What is going to happen this morning is The people that are in here have scriptures they're going to read out loud. Our very last piece is going to be, we are going to read hope scriptures to each other. Hopefully that we will be encouraged by the end of Sunday school is over. But we are going to do that to encourage each other. So this is just not me teaching you. I need your participation as well. Not only just here after we've heard them, but hopefully when we walk away, we can remember when we get to that point. Hopefully I won't have that math issue this week. But when we can get to that point, we can get some hope to keep moving. Remember last Sunday when Miss Vicky talked so wonderfully about people needing hope and they don't need to give up? That kind of stuck with me. That's the piece that we're missing sometimes. We have to have that hope so that we don't give up no matter how hard that situation is. Why? Because God is with us. It's that simple. But sometimes we get so emotional, we get so tore up that we have to be saying, honey, stop and go to the porch and breathe a minute and come back. I'm serious. This is life. Life is for real. But when things happen, y'all, and it's pouring right now in everybody's life. It is pouring. Something, if I could let every one of you say something, you would have an incident or you would have a problem that you're facing or an experience that you're in right now that you almost feel like there is no hope sometimes, and it overwhelms you. Every one of us. That's called life. We cannot get out of life, and we don't want to get out of life until our time is up on the earth, but we want to be able to walk through life successfully and knowing what to do so that we can be okay. Because life will not happen unless we die, and we don't want that to happen. But we want to have good lives. Our lives as believers should really be better than secular people's lives because we have the instructions of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But sometimes the missing factor is that we're not listening. We're not applying ourselves to do what we need to do. And we have to take that time to do that. Because if we don't, you will be a saved person, but you'll be frustrated. And some people won't admit, but sometimes they're mad at God. A friend of mine called me and she was just talking. I said, honey, are you mad at God? She was mad because God wouldn't heal her daughter. Well, she said, well, I can't say that. Well, if that's where you are and that's how you feel, that's what you need to say so God can help you. And somebody can help you. You see what I'm saying? Because we're just in this natural body, y'all. Just like little children, we're just in this natural body acting and reacting to life. But we want to learn to do that the right way. Because guess what? Somebody is watching you. And we want them to see a picture of God reaction, not phase flesh reaction. But what is God's reaction? Okay, one of the keys is forgiveness. Matthew 6, 9 through 15, if you want to write it down. And pretty much, y'all, you know that we have to forgive people. When people do things to us, we have to forgive them. We have to let it go. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender and letting go of the debt. What is the first thing our flesh wants to do when people do stuff to us? Who said that? That's it. We want to fight. You know why? Because you crossed us, you offended us, you stepped over the line, and we want you to have justice. But if you get caught up in that, what kind of reaction are you getting back? If you give a fleshly response, what kind do you get back? Flesh. What does flesh do us any good? Because where are we supposed to live at? And so we have to be mindful of these things. So you have to forgive. And you say, Miss Faye, but I can't forgive them. But let me read what it said, what the word said. Because y'all, I'll tell you something. Sometimes when you ain't feeling it, you have to find what the word said and put it on your flesh, whether your flesh want to hear it or not. You really do. And that's just admitting. A minute ago, what did I say? We have to come under. We have to come under what God's word says. And we have to say, okay, Lord, I don't even quite know how to obey you like this yet. But will you help me? Will you teach me? Reach out to an older person, maybe if you have a mentor, and say, listen, this is the situation that I'm going through. And your mentor should be a godly mentor so that they can guide you God's way, not their way and what they think and what they feel. Because everybody's story is different. Everybody's situation is different. So this is what it says. Pray then in this way. Our Father which is in heaven. I'm reading under NASB. Hallowed be thy name. Sometimes we get that our Father's name is holy. The word hallowed, he's holy. He's not just some God we're praying to, he's holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is that kingdom going to come? How is the kingdom going to come to earth? Through us. Through us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And when the kingdom come, what is his purpose? To do the will of the Father. That's his purpose. We're not praying just to be praying. We're praying and asking you, Lord, I need an answer, but I need it to be like you want me to be. I need to act like you want to act. I need to say what you want me to say in the right way and in the right attitude. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And you know, God is our bread. The word is our bread if we eat it. And we drink it like spirit. It's our bread. It's what we need to do. It's what we need to eat of. No matter what my flesh tell me to do, it's what I need to eat of. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now listen to this one. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So instead of us telling 10 people when we have been offended, we need to go to God and say, God, help me. Help me through this. Teach me what to do. Teach me what to say. Help my heart to forgive. Because it doesn't matter if you go to those 10 people. When you come back, you still got to come back to this one verse that says, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now that's heavy for me. Because, and listen, if you don't forgive, how can you move forward? How can you move forward if you don't really forgive? How can we move forward? We can tell ourselves and make ourselves think we're moving forward. Even the scripture says if your brother or your sister offends you, it says go to them. It didn't say go tell nobody else. It says, go to your brother and your sister and have a conversation. Not shouting, not hollering, not acting crazy. Have a conversation. That's your brother and that's your sister. Sometimes we forget when we are offended by church people that that is your brother, that is your sister, that is your leader. And so even though our emotions may be all over the place, we must act correctly the way God would have us do because we want what's happening in heaven to happen here on earth through us. The next one is the key of faith. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Believe and trust in the loyalty to God and what he and his beliefs, his word. The one factor, y'all, that I think we leave out a lot of times is we come to church, we do religious things, but we don't put much stock in the word of God. We want somebody to preach it to us. We want somebody to teach it to us. But we really don't put a whole lot of stock in it being the truth and our guide through life. And that's what we have to be more careful with. The next thing is finances, the key of finances. In Galatians 6, 5 through 10, finances can be provision is what I call finances, provision. When God tells you to do something, then he will put his provision with that. He will put his provision with that. Many times that has happened to us. Not just one time. Many times that God has put his provision. That provision is spiritually and naturally. I need his spirit to rest upon what I'm doing. I need his anointing in my life to walk this out. But I also need that natural provision of money to get what need to buy or to purchase. Or even somebody giving it to you sometime. But you still need that natural provision. If we didn't have this building right here, which is a natural provision, then we would be sitting outside. And then our services is limited to whatever kind of weather that we're having out there. And then our attention is going to be limited to whatever weather we have out there. Because if we're too hot, we're not going to listen too well. If we're too cold, we're not going to listen too well. Definitely not the rain, and most of us going to get in the car and go home. I mean, that's just the way it is, I'm being honest. So the next key is to follow through. The follow through means endurance, determination, strength to complete the assignment. So you have to remember these four things when we're going through, y'all, and when we're walking to do what God has asked us to do. We have to remember these things, that God is with us. He's our strength. He's our guide, but he's doing the work through you. The next thing we're going to talk about is follow through is very important. So let's look at a couple of scriptures that we have to do. Number one, you got to know what God said. Let's go to Joshua 14. Joshua 14. Joshua 14. In verse 6, you got to know what God has said. Joshua 14 and 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." So before they took off to do anything, they had to know the word that was spoken to them. The second thing, get the word in your heart. Joshua 14 and 7 said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart." He was 40. When we get on down there, you'll see why that 40 is significant. The third thing is that with our whole heart, we follow the Lord. With your whole heart, you follow the Lord. With your whole heart, you follow the Lord. You cannot do what God has assigned you to do grudgingly. And sometimes, y'all, there are things that if we decide, I want to throw this piece in here a little bit about the family. If we have decided to get married, then that is kind of, to me, an assignment. Yes, it's what we did out of our heart. But still, we have agreed to take care of our husband or our wife. Then we have children. We agree to take care of a husband and a wife, then the children. And then we still have to work and do all those other things that go along with it. But sometimes if we're not careful and things are not, if anybody in here is married and you have never had a disagreement, I bow to you, even though this knee hurts a little bit, I bow, you know. But we have to learn, we cannot be grudgingly or not want to be married or not get along. If it gets tight, you get some help to get it to loosen it back up again, so that you keep your flow going in your family with you, your husband, your wife, your children. You get some help and keep that flow going in your family. Mike, may I use you just for a second? No. So I want you to honestly answer the question. Mike preaches the gospel. Mike is evangelist. Mike does ministry. When you and your wife are not getting along and things are not right in your home, do you feel just wonderful about going to do? That's real. So what do you have to do? So would you say that's calling fixing it? But by you yielding to the Spirit of God, it makes you make things right with Kelly. That's the point I'm making. Okay. So and that's that simple. Even with our children. Absolutely. Absolutely. Cannot say it any better. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Thank y'all for that. Miss Sonia, was you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. So the next thing is, with your whole heart, follow the Lord, and then acknowledge God in your past. Joshua 14. What I'm going to do is read Joshua, these next three. I'm going to read Joshua 7 through 14, and I think it's going to answer all of these. Okay, so Joshua 7 says, I read 7. I was 40 years old, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt in fear, but I followed the Lord fully. Remember, I'm talking about with your whole heart, follow the Lord. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden would be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord fully. So he followed the Lord fully, but then he got an inheritance because he followed the Lord fully. So he didn't do that in vain. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb and the son of Jethunneh and the Kenizzite until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel. So again, you see there where it's a benefit to follow the Lord wholly. Acknowledge God in your past. Joshua 10. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke. So the Lord will walk with us and allow us to live as he has spoke to us to do whatever we're doing. Again, going back to what he said, we cannot do that in our own self. The Lord always he's our key. He always has to be with us. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 40 years. From the time the Lord has spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. From 40 to 85 is 45 years that God walked with him. So if he walked with him, will he not walk with us? 45 years. What if he had said something and then took it back along about 20 years? What would have happened? He'd have walked that other 25 thinking he was walking with God in his flesh, and probably things would not have been good. But just think about that, y'all. To know that God is going to be with us through until the end. That he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. No matter what. That he is there. That's our hope. Because if we didn't have that hope and we don't understand that, then if we was at 25 years and something happened, we would quit. If we was at 30 years and something happened, we would quit. But just knowing that he is with us, and yes, you feel what you feel when you're going through. Yes, you do. But you have to take a moment, like I did, you have to go to the porch and you have to breathe. And you have to say, while I'm out there, God, you got to help me. Get me calm. Calm me down. Now, I don't know what stress does to you all, but for me, when I am stressed or if I'm going through something that really bothers me, that moment is there. But to me, if I don't shake that off, that moment stays with me. It resonates in my body, usually in my shoulders, and I can't rest and I can't sleep. And so I have to stay and really keep going with God until I need him to lift that from me. But I need to do what he's saying. I'm coming to him, but I also have to release it to him. Because I go to the porch, but when I go to the porch, I can't pick it up and bring it back in the house. Do you see what I'm saying? When I go to the porch, and while you're out there on the porch, we need to be praying. We need to be, pouring out our heart to God and telling him how you feel. It doesn't bother God for us to tell him how we feel. You need to tell him how you feel, because you need to ask God, I need your grace and your mercy. I need you to come and lift this from me. Tell me what to do. Now, me, when I in my prayer time, when something is going on, yes, I pray and I ask him, then I'll be quiet. And I just sit there. I sit there until I know that this situation, mostly my nerves, my body, is calming down. Then I can take myself and go back to the situation again. Because what good is it going to do me to take myself back in the house and then men are already talking about this mess again? I didn't even want to hear the woman tutoring him. You go do what you do. You go do what you do. You fix it. I'm good. Do you see what I'm saying? I didn't even want to hear it. So you have to do what you need to do to bring yourself back in the space that you need to bring it back in so that nothing is separated there and you still have your communion with God going forth. Because when he talked about the situation with him and his wife needed to be at peace as much as he needed to be at peace. And so he cannot say, well, I don't care how she feel, I'm going to go ahead and do the will of God. You might be going to do, but I don't know much if it's going to be the will of God. Because we have to do things, we have to do things correctly, y'all. You know what? We have to learn to love each other better. We do. We have to learn to love each other better. And God had to teach me that because people had offended me in the church, that you cannot kick them aside, neither can you be ugly to them, or neither can you call yourself being nice and not talk to them and not communicate. That's not acceptable. Feels good for me. Don't feel too good for God and the other person. Go ahead, Lynn. What do you mean dismissive? Yeah. Everything is about people because we have to live with them. Yeah. Yeah. If you can't, well, I mean, you made a good point. If you carry it, it's not going to be a better day because you've carried what happened in this day and all the emotions that went through it and all the hurt that went through it, and you've carried it to the next day. But we don't want to do that. One of the scriptures that comes to my mind is said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Listen, if I have offended one of my brothers and my sisters, or if I'm offended by them, now I will not go to anybody that has offended me until my attitude is right. I'm going. I got to go. I don't have a choice. But I will not come to you bubbling over and saying whatever. I'm not doing that. I have to get myself together, and then I have to go. I don't have a choice in the matter. Because we're born-again believers. We want to please God, and we want to do what's right. We're in the family of God. I can't get out of the family of God. I can't, because I'm not going to turn my back on God, and I'm not going to turn my back on you. But we have to learn to love it. That's a whole nother lesson we'll talk about later. But we have to learn to love each other, y'all. I know we talk about love. We talk about it wonderfully sometimes, but I don't know if we quite do it well. What we do is we push people aside, and we ignore them and say, oh, well, you'll get over it. No, I'm not going to get over it. My relationship and your relationship needs to be flowing, and it needs to be correct toward God. And that's how we're learning and we're walking with each other. How can we say, yeah, I love you, but I treat you bad? How can Mike preach to me if I'm angry at Mike? See, you know what I'm saying? That's what God is concerned about, y'all. It's not all the stuff we do sometimes. How are we really treating each other? Because we have to learn so that we teach our children and we teach other people how to handle each other the right way. That doesn't mean me and you going to eat out every day. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about have an honest flow that when I see you, there's nothing between me and you. Nothing. That I love you honestly. And my love is genuine. And God is getting us there, y'all, because there's so much stuff going out there now. Again, we will read in a couple of minutes about the hope. We have to learn to give each other hope. To say, okay, you can make it. And you know what? If I did offend you, I'm sorry. I am genuinely sorry. Sorry means that whatever you did to offend that person, you do not do again. I don't care if you feel like it don't matter. If that is offensive to them, then we will not do that because we love our brothers and our sisters, so we won't do it. Yes.
And if we lose our joy, and you can't walk in joy and be at odds with someone.
Absolutely.
It takes it right out of you.
Absolutely.
That's a red flag to quickly forgive and get it straightened out.
Yes.
Are your strengths
gone? Yes. And it's also an important key, again, about us moving on with doing the assignment God has given us to do. We want to move forward in the right attitude, in the right way. Were you going to say something? Wonderful. Yes. Yes.
Whether they even realize you've done it or not, because of something that they've done that hurt your feelings, and you just say, God, I forgive them, you know, even though they don't realize what they said or did hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To forgive somebody. And back to in one opinion, I think, is it's better for you to be the forgiving person than the one that's forgiven.
Yeah.
In the case of us as humans, you know, because it makes you a different person than every
yes.
situation
you come in. And offenses are going to come until the day we die. So we have to, it's key that you learn how to deal with it the quickest way you can and as early as you can, that it doesn't stop you, it doesn't stop the other person. Another thing is speak positive words of faith. In Joshua 11, it says, I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. And my strength was then, my strength is now, for war and for going out and for coming in. How mighty is that? Absolutely. That's huge to me. That's huge to me because what that meant to me was that everything about him, even his joints, his body, it was still able to war and to conquer. Not just to war, but to war and to conquer. And not so much as that him. I think God had kept his body as well as every part of him. I really do. I believe he kept him. And y'all, that's another thing. When God has assigned us to do, even when I walk with God, listen, you got to be determined that I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this. I am going to the other side. I'm going to go crying. I'm going to go dragging one leg, but I'm going. Yes, I am. I'm going. I mean that. And you know what? I thank God so much sometimes for my upbringing in a way because my father had a stamina that you just don't see much. I mean, he just like, whatever was set before you, baby, you get up and go do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he just had that, and I thank God for that in me sometimes, even though sometimes I say, no, I'm just not going to do it. After I've whined, after I cried, I pull my bootstraps up, and I go again. And I'm thankful for that, but I also know that that is the strength of God in me saying, Faye, you can make it because I'm with you. Come on, you got to get up and you got to go because you ain't just going for you. You're going for everybody in your household. You're going for every brother and sister that you know. If they see you make it, they can make it. And that's part of my strength is that I know if God brought me out of that and I came through it and I'm here today, he's going to bring me out of whatever's coming. Because his word said it. Not so much that I'm so wonderful and great and grand, because his word said it. And then I also have had to learn to step out of what I think and I feel and then put on what the word of God has said and do it. Just do it. Just do it because God said I can do it. And so you get up and you keep going. I don't want anybody in here to forget. Now I'm going to stop because I want every one of y'all to read y'all scriptures. Lynn, I think you first. You can. You can.
If nobody has Titus 2:13, do they?
No, not off of my list.
Titus 2:13 is my favorite of all.
Looking for that blessed hope. Thank you, Mary.
Of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Should not
be saying yes.
I'm not. Yes.
I think I'm good.
And I think I want you to say it again. Lynn, please, louder. Is it on? Randy, can you hear?
I'm good. I can read this.
You sure?
So you want the Romans 12?
Yeah. No, I want you to read just what you read again.
Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, coming soon to a neighborhood near you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Oh, for that hope. Oh, okay. We're looking for that hope.
And Romans 12:12. Which is rejoicing in hope and in tribulation.
Yeah. Be constant in prayer.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't have it in front of me.
Your hope, your patience in tribulation, your constant in prayer. Miss Judy.
I'll be the runner. I've got the New American Standard Version here. This is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Miss Linda, behind you.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
Mr. Jim.
Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.
For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.